message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
And plus, I've got to add some stuff because right after last week's service, Brother Ed came up to me and asked me a question. So, do you think there are sports in heaven? So now I've got to address that. Is there sports in heaven? Now, I told you that some of your questions through this series, some of your questions are going to be answered, but you're going to still have some questions when it's all done, because not all questions can be answered. Not everything is spoken to directly in the Bible. There are some things we have to speculate on, and one of these is sports. We have to speculate. For some, and this is probably why Ed asked it, he likes sports. He can't imagine heaven being a happy place, because remember last week I told you it's a happy place. He can't imagine it being happy if there's no sports. And then there's a few in here that can't imagine it being happy if there is sports. Randy Alcorn, also a minister, wrote a book on heaven, and he was asked this very question. Here's his answer. We know we are speculating on this, but I believe there is every reason to expect there would be sports in heaven, because there is continuity. In other words, what he's saying is you shouldn't expect heaven to be completely different than earth. Earth is a preview. It's just a slight look at what's to come, which is going to be much more and better. But why would we be doing this, and then heaven is just totally different? So Randy's answer is probably so. But some of you, that competitiveness, that can't go. When you go to heaven, you know, you can't be wrapping your golf clubs around trees in heaven. It was a tree that got us in this mess in the first place. And we don't want you doing things messing us up again. But so we're going to be changed. We're going to be different. Some of our weaknesses, that's going to be gone. Sin's going to be gone. So we're going to be much more pleasant people. Some of your high maintenance relationships, no more. Is that good news? And let me go ahead, because somebody's going to ask this question too. What about my pets? How many of y'all got pets? And you want to know if your pets are going to heaven? Well, let me address that one too. The Bible does talk about animals in heaven, horses, lions. It doesn't specifically say your pets, but there is a movie that says all dogs go to heaven. But then does that mean Cujo goes? I don't think Cujo goes. I will point out there is no movie that says anything about a cat going to heaven. If cats are going to heaven, they're going to have to lose that attitude. You know what I'm talking about? So yes, maybe pets, for sure, animals. And I think so on the sport. I know baseball. Kevin Costner said baseball is going to be in heaven. I mean, it was in a movie. But it's also in the Bible. Genesis 1:1 says, in the big inning. I'm here to help you. Now, soccer, I doubt it. Oh, we got some soccer lovers in the house. Okay, soccer, fine. Just play over there away from me. All right, message two. We've been talking about, last week we talked about heaven, a real place. Just want to give you a better description and a more certainty of the reality of heaven. There is a heaven. You need to know that. It's not just wishful thinking. There is one. And specifically, we want to talk about the third heaven, the heaven where God dwells. The first heaven where the birds fly, we see at daytime. The second heaven where the stars live, we see at night. The third heaven we see by faith, and we get there through Jesus. But this is where heaven, or where God dwells, the third heaven. And last week, we talked about a lot of the inaccuracies, and we'll continue on some of that. Just the misrepresentation of heaven, because we've been influenced by Hollywood and pop culture and jokes and everything else. And so we've got this idea of heaven that just doesn't sound too exciting. Would y'all be honest enough to admit some of the things I've heard about heaven doesn't really excite me that much? Randy Alcorn again tells a story of an English minister. This is a minister. And he was asked by a colleague what he expected after death. And the minister said this, "Well, if it comes to that, I suppose I shall enter into eternal bliss. But I really wish you wouldn't bring up such depressing subjects." This is the minister. George Bernard Shaw, author and playwright, said this: "Heaven, as conventionally conceived, is a place so inane, so dull, so useless, so miserable that nobody has ever ventured to describe a whole day in heaven, though plenty of people have described a day at the seashore." Don Piper, author of the book 90 Minutes in Heaven, had a near-death experience, went to the third heaven. He was being interviewed by Sean Hannity, and it was going well, and then Sean Hannity asked this question: "Is heaven boring?" We're going to kind of focus on that a little bit today, because I don't want you leaving here thinking, yeah, there's a real heaven, but it's boring. I'm going to assure you, heaven is not boring. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read two verses. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven." Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for a place called heaven. Give us insight today. Stir us today. Let us become more excited. Let us long and desire more this place called heaven. Give us comfort for those that we miss. Give us strength for our journey. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of today's message is Heaven, the Ultimate Vacation. You know, John Lennon wrote a song and he told us to imagine there was no heaven. I want to tell you with certainty that there is, and I want you to imagine how wonderful it might be. It's far beyond your imagination, but let's work on it. Imagine means to form a mental picture of something, so we're going to work on that today. Last week, I was telling you to believe in heaven, it's real. This week, I'm telling you, think about heaven. Think about it more. Think about how wonderful, how awesome it might be. I'm going to give you 4 points relating heaven to the ultimate vacation. How many of y'all like to vacation? There's two types of vacations the way I see it. There is the vacation where you go to relax. There's no schedule. You nap. You eat. You do what you want to do. You lay around. It's like, hey, you want to go do this? Sure, why not? That's one vacation. I like those kind of vacations. The other vacation is the one you got to keep moving so you can get it all done. It's busy. It's got a schedule. You go all day. You get short nights, you get up early because you got to get the next thing, the next event. This one wears you out. This is the vacation that when you get home from it, you got to have a vacation to recover. So regardless of what type of vacation you like, maybe a mixture of both, you know, a lot of times on our vacation, it got to the end, it's like, you know what, I'm ready to be home. Especially if it was one of those wear you out vacations. It'd be good to get home. And then people always ask you, hey, you feel pretty refreshed after your vacation? I went to Disneyland. No. No, I don't. But there are those moments when you have that vacation and it's time to go and it's like, man, I'm not ready to go. I'm going to tell you, heaven is that kind of a vacation. You're not going to want it to ever be done. And good news, it will not ever be done. You'll never say this in heaven: well, I've had enough of this. I'm ready to be done and go home. You'll never say that. So I'm going to give you 4 points relating heaven to the ultimate vacation. Number one is this: because we don't imagine heaven, we don't live for it. We don't think about it. See, vacation is a motivation thing for me. How many of y'all have a vacation coming up in the next month? Anybody? Oh, good for you. As it's getting closer, you feel the excitement. You're planning for it. You're putting things away. You're saving some money. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're motivated. Your attitude is better. Isn't your attitude better when vacation is around the corner? You get more done because you're motivated. You know, the week before you go on vacation is probably one of the most productive weeks you ever have. You're going on vacation. Heaven, the ultimate vacation, is a huge motivation to serve the Lord. It also is a motivation to live well. C.S. Lewis said this: if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most about the next. Now, there is another quote. It's not in your Bible. It's attributed to Oliver Wendell Holmes, but I don't believe it's a God quote. He said, you don't want to be so heavenly minded that, so you've heard the quote, that you're no earthly good. Being heavenly minded does not result in isolation or uninvolvement in the world. Just the opposite. Being heavenly minded results in attempting to please God and to do His work in this world. The big problem we have is that we are not heavenly minded. We are very earthly minded. And the text that we read said, think about the things of heaven. But we are too busy thinking about here in order to think about there. We need to think more about there, even while we're here. Think about the things of heaven. When you read that in context, that scripture I read to you earlier in Colossians, it's telling you that as you put your mind on heaven, you do better with life down here. See, a better understanding of heaven gives you more of a longing for heaven. So I hope that when this series is over, that you'll long for it more. You'll desire it more because you'll understand more what it is. In the book of Hebrews, the writer says this. It speaks of a people who were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And then Paul said in Corinthians, right now we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So the writers of old talked about this longing, this desire for our heavenly abode, a better country. And what they longed for, they lived for. Church, we're called to live for heaven. We're to live in anticipation. We're not just to live one way and then we go to heaven and now think, no, we're to be living that direction. Why don't a lot of Christians live with that same desire or that same longing, enthusiasm, and excitement that the writers of old seem to have? Well, I think it's hard to long for the heaven that we've heard about. We've been duped into believing that heaven is not that big a deal. It's harps and halos and clouds. Who's longing for that? We float around as angels in constant worship with nothing much else to do. I like worship. And I've heard people say, man, I just wish we could have church 24/7. No, you don't. You're just saying that, think I'm going to go, wow, you're awesome. And I'm thinking, no, you're lying. It's the heaven is the extended, long, eternal church service. But at least it beats being dead. So we might as well go. We don't long for that. That's not what heaven is. The reason we don't long for it is because we don't have a good understanding of what it's about. Yes, there's worship and singing in heaven, but it's more than a church service, much more. And then this idea we float around as angels. I mean, I don't know. I like the idea of floating. The Bible teaches that angels and humans are two different groups, two different species. And I won't go too far with this because we may do an angel series later. An angel may appear in human form, but angels are not people. A person may be likened unto an angel. Man, she's such an angel. He's such an angel. A fallen one, but hey. We can be likened unto an angel, but people are not angels. The Bible says man was created in the image of God, not angels. They're created, but not in the image of God. There's many differences about angels and humans. Also, at death, you don't become an angel and you don't become a flower in God's big garden. I've heard that said at a funeral for a little one. God just needed another beautiful flower for his garden. Somebody just lost their child. That doesn't bring any comfort. It brings a sickness to my stomach. God needed a flower for his garden. The creator of all things, the creator of every flower on this planet, couldn't create another one. He had to take my little girl. He needed a flower for his garden. It's better to say I don't know than to make up stupid stuff. I heard this week. Somebody had passed and somebody talked about they got their wings. And that's okay, and I'm not teaching you this so you can go and bring correction to people in grieving moments. That would be foolish. Maybe they do get wings. I don't know. We don't become an angel, but maybe we get wings. I do believe we fly around in heaven, but we don't need wings to fly. But if God wants to give us wings, that's his business. You may get wings, but you do not become an angel. You will be changed, but not into an angel. Now, let's just have a little fun. Let's just say we were changed to an angel. This is what we would get here. There's Jason Cruz. He has went on and become a heavenly angel. He's got wings, some kind of leaf halo. It looks like Caesar. Some other angels. There's a couple of our board members. Yeah, CJ and David, they're up there in heaven, bored, nothing to do. But they got their wings, and look, there's a cloud. Oh, look. Hold on right there. Who is the? Paul the angel. Paul, you've never looked so good. Our associate pastor there is a beautiful angel. And then one more, and I sure wish he was here today. Candy, would you share with your husband that he was a part of the message this week? That's Jonathan Eakin, our evangelist. Man, he is an awesome-looking angel. Let's get off of that. There is a change. You will become something that you're not. There is a glorified body. There are things that will happen, but you do not become an angel. And that's not bad news. You're better than. All right? The second point, likening heaven to the ultimate vacation, number two is this. Leaving here is a part of the joy of going there. How many of you didn't really have the time or the money for the big vacation, so you did something simple? The less than ultimate vacation. We're just going to go spend a couple of days at the beach. Or we're going to do this. And you know what? That's still good. It's not Hawaii. It's not Paris or something like that. It's a smaller thing. But just getting away from the routine can be refreshing. A break from the normal. Hey, where are we going, Dad? I don't know. We're going somewhere, though. We're going somewhere else. Somewhere away from here. See, even if heaven wasn't all that, even if heaven was not a big deal, just leaving this world with its brokenness and its heartaches is something to look forward to. 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul said this, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." We'll go deeper with this later, but there is an increased knowledge that will happen in your transition to the new glorified body. We know in part now, but then we're going to know as we are known. There's going to be a revelation that's going to be, it's going to be awesome, but notice this, now this, but then that. Now this, but then that. See, there's a now, and there's a then, and no matter how good your now may be, there will come a time in your life you're going to long for then. You're going to long for then, because this place, nobody gets out of here unscathed. This place, as beautiful as it might be, as wonderful as God's creation is, this place is filled with pain. It's broken. And the Bible talks about there will be a time of no more. No more anxiety, no more worry, stress, fear, shame, guilt, no more suffering, poverty, pain, sickness, loneliness, no more divorce, depression, death, and the list goes on. Just getting away from all of that is a good start to heaven. The Bible talks about a new body, a new place, the new earth. Let me just talk about this just a little bit. We got our now body. How many of y'all like your now body? How many of you, your now body needs a little work? How many of you, your now body needs to be a little, never mind. The now body versus the new body. You know, we say this all the time when people pass on, well, they're not sick anymore. Well, that's absolutely true. We're not praying for healing up in heaven. There is no sin. There is no brokenness. There is no, nothing negative is up there. It's all good. So the now body and the new body. The new body, imagine the day, no more pills. How many of y'all take pills? Every day. Please don't forget to take the pills you need to take, right? So the new body, no pills, no walkers, no wheelchairs, no headaches, no indigestion, no acid reflux, no viruses, no cancer, no disease, no balding, no graying, no eyeglasses, no bulging, no cellulite, no dieting, no pimples, no cramps, no arthritis, no shaving, no makeup, no cavities, no surgeries, no recovery, no therapy, no scrapes, no bruises, no COVID. Part of heaven is just no more of stuff. Part of heaven is just getting away from here. And then we got the new place. Remember I told you last week, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You got your now place. How many of you like your now place? How many of your now place needs a little work? Got a leak over here and some rotten wood over here. Yeah, let me tell you about the new place. No mowing, No edging, no weed eating, no hedge trimming, no house cleaning, no laundry, no repairs, no taking out the garbage, no bills, no termites, no wood rot, no water leaks, no homelessness, no roaches, mosquitoes, ants, bugs, no property tax, no tax of any kind. This is the new place. Just getting away from all of that. The list I just read, how many of you could check off things on your list? Yeah, I got that going on. Yeah, I got that going on. Yeah, I got that going on. All that's gone. And then we got the new earth, and we'll talk more about this in another message. We got the now earth. It's awesome. But the Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. The new earth, no earthquakes, no tornadoes, no hurricanes, no volcanoes, no forest fires, no tsunamis, no mudslides, no flooding, no wars, no poverty, no climate change. Side note, there's no climate change anyway, but we won't have to hear about it. And the big one is no more death. The Bible refers to death as our enemy. Now think about it. Who is an enemy? An enemy is somebody who's against you. An enemy is somebody who wants to beat you. Someone who wants to cause you pain. Someone who wants to hurt you. And death is our enemy, and doesn't he cause us pain? And the Bible says that the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. See, there's coming a day where there will be no more death. That's good news. That's a good start to heaven. Think about the things associated with death, the grief and the sorrow as you go through it, the pain of great unimaginable loss, the anxiety caused by the reality of death and the fact that you're going to have to deal with it, the fear and the stress and anxiety of losing someone you love, knowing that as they get older, as they got sick, you're wondering, are they going to make it? And you're already feeling the pain even while they're still here. And then you have these thoughts, what about my death? I don't want my kids to deal with that. You know, the reality is that one day I'm going to have to deal with Teresa's absence, or she's going to have to deal with mine. Or, hallelujah, Jesus comes and we both go and all is well. And then somebody says, well, yeah, but you could both go at the same time. Okay, and then my kids get to deal with a double loss. I don't care how you shape it up, death is painful. And there will be no more. That's a good start for heaven. See, heaven is not just the presence of new and exciting things. A good vacation is not just new and exciting things. It's also the absence of old and burdensome things. It's not just taking on the good. It's getting rid of the bad. The removal of all the bad and all the sad, the negative, the difficult, the heavy, is a good start to heaven. We lose all the bad. But on this third point, let's talk about some of the good. Let's talk about some of the new. Number three, the third point is this. Getting there begins the adventure of new sights and new experiences. Remember, we're talking about heaven, the ultimate vacation. We're comparing it to our vacation down here on the earth. Think about your vacation, the last one you took or the one you're going to take. We went to the Grand Canyon last year. Getting there begins the adventure of new sights and new experiences. You go on a vacation and you get to see things you've never seen before. You get to do things that you've never done before. Vacation invites new scenery and new activities. In fact, the usual determining factor for vacation is one of those two things, scenery or activity. When you're trying to decide, hey, where do we want to go for vacation? How many of you know if you have young kids, the discussion is totally different? You got to include some other things. But vacation is usually, it's either scenery, activities, or a combination. It's like, what are we going to go do, or what are we going to go see? In heaven, there is much to do and much to see. See, we dealt with the no mores, but what about the more? I've heard people say this. Maybe I've said it. I know I've thought it. But you look around, and as wonderful as life is, you're going through a slump or something, and you look, it's like, man, there's got to be more. There's just got to be more. There absolutely is more. You were created for a life somewhere else. You were made for another place. So the transition to heaven is like going from a black and white 13-inch screen, single speaker, to a 65-inch screen, high def, surround sound, full volume. Transition to heaven, it's like that moment in the Wizard of Oz movie. I remember as a kid watching the movie, and it's like, is it coming? Is it coming? Boom, everything became color. Y'all remember? Yeah. Or it's like that you've been in the theater, you went to see a matinee, and you're watching the movie, and 2 hours later, you open the door and walk out into the bright day. You'd forgotten it was daylight. You've been in the dark so long, and the bright, it's just blinding. It's like extreme. This is the transition to heaven. It's not a little thing. Don Piper, again, the author of 90 Minutes in Heaven, said this. He visited the third heaven. He lives today. He said, the best way I can explain it is to say that I felt as if I were in another dimension. Never even in my happiest moments had I ever felt so fully alive. Paul said in Romans that our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's coming. He goes on to say that we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Think of this life with its suffering as simply the birth canal to real life. I want to talk about some of these NDEs, near-death experiences. I introduced them last week. It's those that have gotten close to death or actually died and came back to life, and they visited the third heaven. There have been not just a few of these, there have been thousands of these. And I want to stress again that God's word is always authority. We want to be skeptical of anything that opposes Scripture. If it opposes Scripture, remember, it's malarkey. If it doesn't oppose Scripture, then maybe. Because some things you do have to speculate on. Scripture doesn't spell it out clearly, but it gives good indication of some things. Now, I want to, before I share some of these, I want to point this out as well, kind of a disclaimer. There's been hundreds of people, doctors, airline pilots, bank presidents, tenured professors, the type of people who don't need to make up a story in order to get money. They've already got plenty of money. The type of people who, if they were caught making up a story, would lose credibility in their profession. So this just isn't some guy off the street making up some stuff looking for a buck. So there's been a lot of care and caution taken for the accuracy and authenticity of the reports of near-death experiences, NDEs. And one thing I want you to keep in mind is that through these NDEs, we've learned that a lot of what's in heaven is already here on earth. It's just better and more. There's more senses, more dimensions, more flavors, more colors. Whatever earth has, heaven has more. Earth is just a preview, a weak preview of what's to come. God has saved the best for last. You're not going to get up there and go, man, it's good up here, but it was really good down there. It's not going to happen. We are made in the image of God, and Scripture suggests that earth is made in the image of heaven. One person said it this way, earth is crammed with heaven. There's bits of heaven all in the earth. You got to look for it. You got to slow down. You got to slow down, they say, and smell the roses, right? But how about just slow down and think about heaven? We are so consumed, we are so busy, we are so frantic, we are so caught up with screens that we don't think about heaven as much as we need to. Let's talk about a few things. Let's talk about the colors of heaven. Don Piper again said this. As I looked around, I could hardly grasp the vivid and dazzling colors. Every hue and tone surpassed anything I'd ever seen. With all the heightened awareness of my senses, I felt as if I had never seen, heard, or felt anything so real before. Now listen, when I went to school, I still remember this. Remember, you go get your supplies at the school, you get your scissors. Remember the paste? Not glue, the paste. The orange lid, and you could eat that stuff. And then you get your colors. And I had eight colors. I had the box of eight. I didn't realize I was being ripped off. When I got to school and saw some of my friends had the 64 box with a sharpener on the back of the box. I had eight. They had 64. Sherwin-Williams, have you seen the paint wheel for Sherwin-Williams? They have over 1,700 colors. Braden one day when he's really young, 6 or 7 years old, was on the computer and he's coloring things, filling the, you know, the match the numbers and just filling the color and pick. And I look at all the colors. He's got like this whole palette, just, you know, 100 colors. And I said something about blue and he said, Dad, that's not really blue, that's periwinkle. I said, periwinkle? The fanciest color I had growing up, it was blue-green. Y'all remember blue-green? We had blue, we had green, but then some people in the 64 box had the blue-green. Well, this was periwinkle, and I said, Braden, don't ever use that word again. Consider this. When it comes to colors, there are, what they tell us, three primary colors. Three. Now, it varies a little bit because in the painting world, it's red, yellow, and blue. In the computer world, the tech world, electronics, it's red, green, and blue. Y'all heard of RGB. So red, yellow, blue, red, green, blue. Either way, it's three colors that make up my eight and his 64 and Sherwin Williams 1700. It's three colors that make all the shades. What if, to speculate, what if God just said, you know what? I'm just going to throw in two more primary colors for heaven. What would two more do if three can do what it's done? Dale Black had a near-death experience, and he said this about colors. He said, they seem to be alive, dancing in the air. I've never seen so many different colors. It was breathtaking to watch. I could have spent forever just doing that. Again, when I share these with you, I'm taking the common things that are said, not something that was said by one person and nobody else ever said it. We dismiss that. We discount that. But when you hear from hundreds of them and they're all saying the same things about the colors, that gives credibility to the fact that heaven is a colorful place. A guy by the name of Marv said this, the colors and lights in heaven were the deepest, richest, most gloriously lush colors I'd ever seen, and some I had never seen before. I simply don't think those colors and lights exist on earth. The white in heaven was like none other I can compare. The colors in heaven would meld from the whites into blues and reds and purples and greens. The multiple colors would change and shift and move constantly, twirling and twisting and floating, shape-shifting in a way that fixated and enthralled me. The closest I can come to describing what that light show was like is probably the Aurora Borealis or the Northern Lights. The light show was utterly transfixing. See, I told you last week, heaven is a physical place. It's a happy place, and it's eternal place. I'm going to also add this. It's a beautiful place. It's a colorful place. God created all the beauty on earth. Some of you, you've been to the Grand Canyon. You've been to Niagara Falls. You've been to some of these national parks. You've seen some of the beauties in the rivers and the lakes and the jungles. You've seen the beauty of God's creation right here. And I'm just telling you, He saved the best for last. Everything will pale. Everything here will pale to what awaits us. So that's the colors. Let's talk about vision just a little bit. Dale Black, again, said this about vision. He said, it seemed that my vision had been extremely enhanced. How otherwise could I see the colors I was seeing or the light that was in everything? It was like being in a 3D movie and putting on the glasses. Suddenly, everything had more dimensions, more richness. But that is an understatement. Multiply that by 10,000, and that would be closer to what I was experiencing. See, we like to think, man, he's in heaven now. He doesn't wear glasses anymore. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot better than that. I better put these back on. You just went blurry. It's not just now you have 20/20 vision. No, you have vision that you've never had before. Some of you might remember the first time you ever went to a 3D movie. You were used to the flat screen. Then your parents took you to a 3D. You put on the glasses and you're like, oh, all of a sudden. That's what's going to happen. There's another dimension that you haven't experienced that you don't know. Others talk about the clarity, the vividness. Many of them talk about the ability to telescope, the vision to telescope. One woman said, it was like having a zoom lens on my face. I had clarity whether I was looking at something 10 inches away or 10 miles away. Oh, Pastor, you think we can see for 10 miles? Are you not amazed at what we can do down here? Are you not amazed at the human body that God has given us here, and we're going to have a glorified body? Well, I don't know. Did you know that the eagle from up there can spot a rabbit from 2 miles away? Oh, yeah, but that's an eagle. Yes. So eagles are awesome and not us. No, God made that eagle. That's a preview. They also talk about the ability to see 360 degrees this way and this way. Spherical. In other words, you will have eyes in the back of your head. My mom had that already. But see, we got a preview of that on the earth as well. Both the dragonfly and the chameleon have 360-degree field of vision. God's already made something with that and put it down here right in front of us. And he's like, I wonder if they'll notice, because I'm going to do that for them later. They probably won't notice. They'll just get busy and talk about harps and halos and clouds. What about smell? We're going to all smell better. I'm talking about the sense of smell. Dale Black again said this, the fragrance that permeated heaven was so gentle and sweet, I almost didn't notice it amid all that there was to see and hear. But as I looked at the delicate, perfect flowers and grass, I wanted to smell them. And as soon as I wanted to smell them, I became aware of an aroma. Let me just pause here a minute. Some of you, you know this. You're in a restaurant, and all you hear is chatter. But if you look at somebody and focus on them, you'll hear their conversation above the other conversations. Y'all are looking at me. Y'all never done this? Y'all don't eavesdrop at the restaurant? So this is what he's saying. This, I would focus on something, and all of a sudden I would have the aroma of that. As I focus, I could tell the difference between the grass and the flowers, the trees, and even the air. It was also pure and intoxicating and blending together in a sweet and satisfying scent. And again, we have previews. There are certain bears on our earth that can smell a carcass up to 20 miles away. That's here to Alvin. Hey, just try this. Put a piece of candy on your counter. Come back a few hours. They answer there. How do they know? Your sense of smell is going to be enhanced. See, you're going to have all your senses and some, and it's all going to be improved. There is an Auburn tracking dog, talking about another preview. He can follow a single human trail laid more than 24 hours before across a campus crisscrossed by tens of thousands of students. That's amazing that tens of thousands of people can walk, but you can give a scent to the dog from 24 hours earlier, and he can make through all of that and follow that scent. That's how finely tuned his sense of smell is. I'm telling you, that's just a preview. Plus, you're going to have a harp and halo and a cloud. Just in case somebody's really sold on that. The fourth, the final point this morning. When it comes to vacation, ultimately, it's not about where you are as much as who is with you. And I'm going to tell you, it's the same thing about heaven. See, that's why streets of gold and gates of pearl don't do anything for me. It's more about the who, not the what, not the where. Heaven is going to be good. The where and the what's going to be good. But what about the who? And we're going to focus on more of that next week. So let's just talk a little bit. See, for me, I'll speak for me. A simple vacation with friends and family trumps an elaborate vacation by myself. I would rather go to Galveston Beach with my kids than Hawaii by myself. Now, some of you, wait a minute. Let me think on this one a little bit. I'm not talking about those days where you're trying to get out of the house because you've been driven up the wall by your kiddos. You know, even those who go on an elaborate vacation by themselves are looking to meet somebody, hoping to connect with some people. I'm not saying you can't enjoy vacation by yourself, but I'm telling you it's more about the who. Heaven is primarily about people because God is primarily about people. He gave us two great commandments in the New Testament, 10 commandments in the Old, but then Jesus came back and said, I'm going to replace the 10 with the 2, and the 2 is going to cover the 10 and much more. And the two commandments are love God with all your strength, heart, soul, and mind. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. That's the two great commandments. It's all about relationships. The golden rule, also in the Bible, do to others as you would have them do to you. Treat them the way you want to be treated. That also has to do with relationships. See, God created love, relationship, and family, and they will remain important in heaven. Real people, real relationships do not end when this life ends. They go to newer depths. They go to a better place because all the stuff in you that makes relationship challenging is going to be gone. All the stuff in your spouse that makes it challenging for you is going to be gone. Because selfishness is all of a sudden gone. Selfishness is sin. There is no sin in heaven. So that glorified body, there's a transition, and all of a sudden, that's why we will get along. See, I've been married for 30 plus years. Teresa and I have had an argument or two. 100. And there's been moments it's like, man, I just need to get away from her for a while. I mean, I got that backwards. She's needed to get away from me for a while. I just need some space. Well, why do we need space? Because we're getting on each other's nerves. We've been in the same room too long. Did y'all know the divorce rate went way up during the lockdown? Space and distance is good down here. It's needed down here. It's not going to be needed up there. You're not going to get weary of anybody. Your relationships are going to continue, but they're going to go to a better place. Heaven is the ultimate family vacation. In Genesis, we read this. Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age and was gathered to his people. And then we read later, Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. Heaven's about people. Not gold and pearl and gates and streets. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a great place. Because even though I'd rather go to Galveston Beach with my family than go to Hawaii by myself, what about both? How about I go to Hawaii with my family? Which brings me to this point of the message where I'd like to receive an offering. You can give on the way out to my Hawaii fund. Now, what if you can have both? What if you can have the wonderful place, the elaborate vacation, with the wonderful people? That's what you're going to have. That's what you're going to have. We're going to close this one for today. Let me just say something that I said last week. Heaven doesn't have to be hard to get there, but it's not automatic. You're not going just because you were born and you breathe. There are some people that have no interest in going to heaven. There are some people that don't believe in God. And Jesus said this, if you believe in God, that's good, but believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And then John said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There is the option of perishing. It's those that believe in Jesus, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. So if you're going to go on a vacation, and some of you raised your hand earlier, you're getting ready to go, you're preparing. Well, if heaven is the ultimate vacation, what do we do to prepare? You just receive Jesus. You just receive Jesus. Stand up with me. If you're here today and you've never believed on Jesus and you need to do that for the first time, or maybe today you just need to rededicate your life to the Lord, I'm just going to pray for you right where you are. Would you just hold up your hand so I can see that hand and just pray for you? If you're watching today and this is you, we're praying for you as well. Father God, in Jesus' name, again, thank you for this place called heaven. It's my prayer today that we would fixate more there, that our hearts would long for it more. God, that we would, as your word tells us, think about heaven more. And God, we'll anticipate seeing that person that we miss so much. Father, would you just build that longing? Would you just build that desire in us for that heavenly country, that place called heaven? Father, thank you for that. Lord, as we imagine, as we think about it, as we speculate, God, just let us build and grow in our excitement. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.